Hey, welcome to Everyday Non-Ordinary. I'm your host, Jenny Wiener, and this is a podcast about psychedelic integration. So integration is a sort of broad term that we use to describe a number of practices, really any number of practices, designed to take the insights and wisdom gleaned from psychedelic experiences and translate those into meaningful, lasting change in one's life. And on today's episode, I'm speaking with my friend Kabir Ali. Kabir is the head of operations for New Life, which is a company offering an at-home psychedelic therapy model using ketamine-assisted psychotherapy. And I really love speaking with Kabir, not only because he's just so passionate about this work and his own story is so compelling and inspiring. I just think it's also really neat to highlight the different ways that you can get involved in the psychedelic space, even if you're not a clinician or even if you're not a sitter or a guide, you know, working directly with the medicine. There are so many roles for support people, operations, administrative people. So if it's something you're interested in and passionate about, this is an invitation to just think broadly and look at some different ways that you could get involved. I also think it's important every once in a while just to offer the reminder that this podcast is not a substitute for individual medical or mental health advice. So if you're drawn to this because maybe you're dealing with your own mental health issues, which most of us are these days, or maybe this episode caught your eye because you're struggling with addiction or trauma, that's great if you're, you know, feeling interested in these tools, but I really want to encourage you to seek out an experienced provider who really knows the medicines that you're thinking about working with and making sure that you're, you know, going into it with fully informed consent and understanding, which will also help make the most of your experience. So that's it for now. Here's my episode with Kabir Ali, and I'll catch you on the other side. So hi, Kabir. Welcome.
Hi, Jenny. How are you doing?
I'm really well. How are you?
I am so happy to hear you. It's so happy to hear your voice, and I'm so happy to be here. So thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Likewise, I said this last time we spoke, but I'm so happy for other people to hear your voice because you have such, not only your story, but your actual voice is so calming. And so
you're too kind. Thank you
to be here.
Thank you for that.
So I'd love to start by just asking how you found your way to psychedelics. You know, what in your life sort of led you to that place?
Absolutely. You know, I had my share of recreational experiences. I think in my late 20s, that's when a friend of mine basically introduced me to my first LSD experience. And I definitely knew that there was something there with regards to the therapeutic, you know, utility, and just with, you know, all of the insights that I even had in that non-therapeutic setting. And then in 2018, I was introduced to ketamine therapy, where I had my initial series of ketamine treatments. And that honestly just changed everything for me. And I actually explored that treatment for my depression and for my cocaine addiction. And something that's just something that I was struggling with for about 8 years steadily. And, you know, I was a functioning addict at that time. And what that therapeutic experience gave me was basically an opportunity to just start and almost in some ways expedite my healing journey.
I'm curious, you know, you said you sort of had struggled for many years with substance use and mental health, and were you trying lots of different treatments and things at that time, or not really? You were just sort of living your life?
Yeah, that's a great question. I tried conventional talk therapy. I attended several groups. I went to rehab twice. I didn't feel like I actually, I did have an ayahuasca experience as well. But during that time prior to my initial, clinical therapeutic experience. So yes, I mean, there were a few things that I had explored. I definitely knew I had a problem and I definitely wanted to do something about it. And again, just so happy that I found this treatment modality and, you know, and I get to connect with clinicians like yourself. And it's just, it's been a beautiful journey ever since.
Yeah. How did you find therapeutic ketamine? I mean, it's becoming a thing, but it wasn't such a big thing a couple of years ago.
It's an interesting story. I went down to Tampa for a consulting engagement at a pain medical practice where they actually offer IV infusions. And that introduction came to surface through my cousin-in-law. It happens to be my, I guess you can say my uncle-in-law's center.
Okay.
He was well aware, that's Dr. Kazi Zain Hassan, was well aware of, you know, the issues and the battles that I was fighting at that time. So he had made the recommendation and introduced me to ketamine therapy. And, at first, my initial response was ketamine. Like, really? Like, isn't that something that they use in the veterinarian world? Isn't that like, you know, is that even a treatment for depression or anxiety or PTSD? And he had given me a very, I think the introduction was extremely well-rounded. So I was certainly convinced and I'm happy I gave it a shot.
Wow. And you did sort of the series of treatments that's usually recommended?
That is correct. I did the initial series of six treatments. And over the past 3 years, I've had a couple of rounds of maintenance sessions as well, using IV, IM, and also oral ketamine.
And what started happening for you through this work? What did you notice?
Well, apart from becoming an advocate and a cheerleader overnight, I noticed the authenticity around the conversations that I was having with myself and basically came to realize the severity, of my addiction and came to accept that, yeah, Kabir, you need help. And that was one of the biggest takeaways, for me.
And so did that mean getting additional help outside of ketamine as well?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, for those listening and as you know, integration is everything. And the same applies to, you know, just peer support and community for me, anyway. And for me, it really opened the door to actually having productive sessions with my therapist. And it really provided me with, you know, the access or the vulnerability to have my walls and guards down, you know, during my sessions. So that was something that was extremely, a powerful, an overall powerful experience and a practice that I still very much exercise today.
So what I'm hearing is you had done a lot of therapy before or, you know, various types of treatment, but the work with ketamine made you aware of sort of a level of honesty or vulnerability that you hadn't let yourself access before.
Absolutely. And I felt that, you know, just through the support of, you know, working with integration guides and, you know, even just licensed mental health clinicians or just actually, I think, embarking on this journey with a strong therapeutic framework was extremely helpful for me. Let me give you an example. I'd say even today, if I were to have a maintenance session, I would schedule my therapy session within that, you know, that golden window of opportunity, that 48-hour, you know, window or 72-hour window that you hear so much about. And I think that practice in itself and actually being able to, I think, establish momentum, you know, around talk therapy and even just the groups that I've been attending as well have been really helpful and effective.
So therapy itself has been a big part of your integration practice. What else, you know, if anything, sort of does integration look like for you?
Well, I think just the whole entire practice of incorporating, you know, healthier habits into my lifestyle versus the habits and, you know, coping mechanisms that I would usually turn to has been extremely powerful for me. You know, whether if it's my meditation practice or my reflection practice through journaling, I do not think I would have the respect or consideration or consistency you know, around those practices if it weren't for them being adapted into, you know, or integrated into my life amidst these powerful experiences that ketamine and other traditional psychedelics facilitate, you know, create the space for.
What is it about the medicine that for you created that space? Like, how did that happen?
I think it was the ability to let go and also, of course, accept and also revisit certain events that took place in my life where I had undiagnosed, you know, PTSD and, you know, due to these events. And, you know, I'll just give you a small example, you know, with respect to one of my biggest wins with regards to a ketamine assisted psychotherapy session that took place. And for those who do not know exactly, you know, what that looks like, that's actually, of course, a session where you are working with a clinician, guiding a conversation and a series of discoveries, I guess. And that whole entire, coming back to the whole entire epiphany or that one moment that, you know, was, I think, one of the most powerful moments for me was discovering why I was using. And the reason why I was using is because around 10 years ago, I lost my family, you know, and I was extremely displaced. And of course, you know, in some ways, I guess you can say I lost my community and my people, and hanging on to that loss was something that I think I was trying to achieve, of course, or revisit through my cocaine addiction. So yes, I mean, you know, that I think just all of the above over there. Yeah.
That's such an important point, you know, that the cocaine use, or which we could substitute for any number of ways that we try to survive just being human in this world today, and that those behaviors and habits serve some purpose. You were trying to cope with this unfathomable tragedy and loss, and how resourceful of you to find something to help you get through day to day. And of course, often these things reach a tipping point where they're hurting us more than they're helping us, but just how important to honor that part of you that was just trying to survive.
No, I appreciate that, Jenny. Absolutely. And, you know, conversations like these and just interactions, not only with my clinician, but with, you know, other clinicians that I've gotten a chance to connect with, have also, you know, that's been very helpful, just even learning, you know, a little more about that season in my life.
Given your substance use history, was anyone in your life concerned or nervous when you started talking about ketamine very excitedly? It has such a bad reputation in some ways.
Absolutely. I'd say my wife or even some of my close friends were concerned about my relationship, you know, with this treatment. And I I can't even count how many times I've been asked, I mean, are you sure this is right for you, Kabir? Are you positive? And I understand the concern. I understand, that they were, of course, just coming from a good place. But, you know, through and through, I felt like I finally found something that worked for me. Using ketamine treatments were just something that I felt to be very efficient. And again, I think the therapeutic setting plays such an important role here. It's such an important part of the conversation. When you have that support, you know, from a clinical team, it's there's something there for sure. And there's so many beautiful avenues today where I believe this medicine is being exercised responsibly. And if it were not for the safe container that I felt that my, community of clinicians were supporting me through, there is a possibility that the conversation may have been a little different, for sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Also hearing how important honesty became for your healing, I imagine you had to sort of continually assess for yourself your relationship to the medicine, to the treatment, and really just be clear with yourself and your team, but that it was sort of overwhelmingly obvious that this was really serving you.
Yeah, I think the communication and the consistency and the aftercare are certainly very important components, and definitely attributed towards, my progress. But yes, being able to have access to some wonderful clinicians, well-versed clinicians within, the space of an altered state of consciousness was certainly, I think, a very important factor over there, for sure. Yeah. It's also important to share that I feel like, even today, it's not like I've not had, days this past year where I've had a tough time getting out of bed or have struggled with, my addiction. I'm very proud to share that it's been about, like, I think, hundreds of days since my last, slip or relapse. I'm very happy about that. But yes, it's something that I still struggle with today. But again, coming back to an earlier point that we were talking about around mindfulness and self-awareness, I think that's one of the biggest or one of the key gifts as well, amongst the many that I've mentioned that I have received, through the medicine and through this whole overall experience and journey of mine.
Thank you so much for sharing that. I think it's really important for people to hear and to remind myself, so often we talk about the medicines as if they're these silver bullets. I mean, I try really hard to not talk about them in that way, but, people share their big trip reports and their life-changing trip to Peru. And, that's great. And the overwhelming majority of us are, right, it's messy and the work is ongoing and it's complicated. And I think to expect any of us to achieve some state of healing as if we had never experienced any of the traumas that we've all experienced is just, I don't even know if that's even a useful goal to orient ourselves towards. So I really appreciate that. And I'm sort of curious how, after slips or relapses, like how things have changed for you now. Cause I know, through my own history with cocaine, with other, addictive habits, that it's such a slippery slope and the shame and the judgment can just like rush in. And I'm wondering if that's changed since you've been working with ketamine.
So much compassion, absolutely. Mm. So much compassion and so much, just I think self-love has been something that I have been able to definitely visit, and just basically, share with myself consistently in the event of, any unfortunate scenario, or even the event of a small daily struggle, whether if it's, beating myself up too hard about, something that I didn't do right at work, or it could be anything, to be honest with you, or something that I may have said. I think the inner dialogue that I had several years ago has really transitioned over to a healthier communication with myself and towards myself, and I'm able to, you know, tell myself without any conditions attached, you know, don't be too hard on yourself, Kabir.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's been liberating. That's been so liberating, Jenny. It's been beautiful to be able to actually, yeah, walk that talk, you know? Yeah.
That's huge. That's really where the healing lies, right? It's not whether we ever use the substance again or do the thing again. It's what we do next and what we do with that information and how we treat ourselves. And that's everything, to be able to turn towards yourself with compassion in that moment and get curious about what did that mean? What do I need? How am I not taking care of myself? That's so valuable.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And thank you for that. Thank you for that question. And thank you for creating the space for this. It's honestly been a very challenging process as well, because things come up, you know, during these experiences, during these sessions. And it's not always just blissful, or, you know, it's not always just all rosy. And sometimes, you know, you have to go in and see what's going on in the shadows over there, and what's going on behind the scenes. And I think the access that, you know, these experiences provide also do not just provide access, but they, you know, provide a certain level of comfort as well, to, you know, just explore those aspects of your adversities or the challenges that you're currently dealing with. So yeah, no, for sure. Mm.
And I'm wondering if you could share how you've now made this part of your professional life and your life's work, because I know you're doing some really innovative work in the ketamine space.
Yeah, no, thank you. You know, after that experience in December of 2018, about 6 months later, Dr. Hassan and I, my cousin-in-law and I, started a practice, a brick and mortar location in Miami, and where we were just seeing clients in person. And the first year we had about 75 patients that we were working with. And in the second year, after the pandemic settled in, we had about 750. And that's also because we transitioned over into a at-home program while still offering the IM-IV treatments at the brick and mortar location in Miami. And I feel that transition from being an advisor, communications advisor, to being in this space and showing up as an advocate and of course as a director of communications, was something that simply just felt right. And it was, I guess you can say, my calling in life to celebrate this and share this with others. And it's just been so fulfilling. And, you know, just 3 years later now, we are, or 2.5 years later, you know, we've worked with, we've facilitated about over 10,000 experiences, you know, for our clients. And the transformative experiences have just been so, witnessing those and seeing the team even just respond and react and, you know, show up for those clients amidst this process has just been beautiful through and through. So, you know, I can safely say that I look forward to showing up and just, you know, getting on my laptop in the morning, sometimes a little too soon, but hey, you know, just a lot of enthusiasm.
That's amazing. And how does, so it's My Ketamine Home, right? Is your company?
Yeah, absolutely. That was the legacy business. So that's where we started out as My Ketamine Home. And back in February, you know, we met some wonderful co-founders of a mental wellness company based again in Miami. That's Juan Pablo Capello and, you know, Damian Bellemio and Katie Kiernan. And it was just love at first sight, and the work that they were doing was very much aligned with the work that we're doing. And yeah, I guess we got absorbed and, you know, by New Life. And today, and today the work that we're, the comprehensive care that we can provide our clients today is something that is really beautiful. And that includes accessible integration through groups that all of our clients have access to, along with just a beautiful, I think you can say, roster of clinicians and experts as well, you know? So that whole entire component tied in with just sharing the value around community and peer support has been very powerful for our team and very powerful for our clients. Education is such an important part of this process, and synthesizing that information and presenting it in the accurate light has also been a very exciting process as well.
So you said it's an at-home model. Could you just sort of walk us through, you know, for someone who's listening who might be interested, what does that mean? What does it look like to become a patient?
Absolutely. So, you know, of course, you know, it's important that I share that, of course, an at-home oral ketamine program is not for everyone. So, you know, we have, like any other practice, a standard screening process that takes place. And, you know, clients are able to work with a dedicated clinician throughout their course of experiences. And with the at-home model, of course, there is a, you know, a little bit of a period of dose discovery that occurs. But basically, everything is facilitated through telemedicine. And that also includes the aftercare that I was mentioning as well. So regardless of where our clients are, they don't actually have to come in. And what's really beautiful about this is that we can offer these treatments at 1/5 or 1/4 the cost, you know, versus actually, you know, going into a center and yeah, our clients have responded very well, you know, to this program, to these programs, and they really appreciate the ability of, you know, just wearing their pajamas and receiving treatment, and it's something that we also enjoy because this gives us the opportunity to check in with them a little bit more consistently and frequently, and that intimacy is something that I feel we feel is so important, right? So being in touch in between experiences, checking in, hey, how are you doing? What is that you need? What's coming up for you? Our clinicians are there every step of the way. It's really been beautiful.
So the main difference, it sounds like, is not having the clinician there as the sitter, but otherwise they're really sort of held in the same way throughout the process.
Absolutely. And, you know, on that note over there, thank you for that, Jenny. Our clients are required to have an adult sitter present just to ensure the cats and dogs at home don't disrupt their experience, right? And amidst COVID, amidst the pandemic, it was really unfortunate to witness so many clients not being able to participate in our program because they didn't have anyone present or had limited access to their friends or loved ones. So we actually set up a system where we have a remote sitting service for clients who do qualify for this service. So that really, I think, solved that problem over there. But that is correct. That is the main difference over there.
And I'm wondering, I know you're not a clinician, but you're hearing a lot of client stories and probably testimonials. And I'm curious if you're hearing certain themes emerge, or is everyone's experience just really unique, really different?
Absolutely. You know, as far as themes go, of course, this is not just something that I can speak to about New Life Health or my ketamine home. It's honestly, I think there's a lot of clinical evidence that points to this, is that those clients that work with a mental health clinician, you know, versus just having the medication and having an experience without any integration, without a plan, an integration plan, let's call it, those clients definitely do have more success than those clients that, you know, of course, just embark on the journey itself. That's definitely a common pattern. And in addition to that, of course, there's different communities. Let's say a client in California who has had psychedelic experiences before, you know, could they come into this obviously with that education beforehand? And for other clients, it takes a little bit of time, and that's okay as well. You know, so, you know, everybody can run their own race at their own pace. So yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's an interesting point too, about just the knowledge someone has coming into it and how much that can vary based on their environment, the state that they live in.
Intention setting, just preparation, and all of those other verticals are just such important components. The music is such an important component. You know, you may not want to listen to your top 40 during your experiences, but actually having music that makes you feel grounded, and there's a certain familiarity even with that music, of course, can be helpful. There's so many tools and resources out there, you know, for folks to go ahead and explore. And I'm very happy to share that we've actually worked with a wonderful musicologist and developed music playlists that actually are aligned and speak to the intentions that one sets prior to their experience. And all of those features will be available in the new app. It's kind of like a digital companion. It's kind of like a guide. So yeah, it's something that we are very excited to share with our clients and, you know, with our communities. So, yeah.
That's so cool. I sometimes love listening to the music from past journeys or ceremonies just in my day-to-day life as a way to reconnect a little bit, sort of bring me back to that space.
Yeah, no, it's honestly such a powerful aspect of, it's such an important aspect, actually, you know, even though you, I feel exercising that sensory deprivation, you know, with using an eye masks and just feeling cozy and just, you know, being in a cozy, safe space is just so important. Set and setting, of course, you know, we could have another conversation just on that subject. So, yeah.
I'm wondering, you mentioned, you know, that this particular model is not suited for everyone. And of course, not every medicine is suited for everyone, and psychedelics in general are not, you know, for everyone. But is there someone who is really the ideal person for this model?
The ideal person. Wow. You know, I can definitely share a personal opinion over here. Of course, again, like you mentioned, I'm not a clinician, but, you know, for those who have, let's say, tried conventional SSRIs and conventional modalities, you know, some of which have not been, I think, you know, revisited or innovated on for decades, if not years, I think, folks who are looking for a last resort or even a first resort, you know, I feel would be wonderful candidates, you know, for just exploring this program. And with respect to, you know, clients who are not a good fit for an oral at-home ketamine program, that does not necessarily mean that, you know, that client may not be a good fit for an in-center experience with a clinician. And that's something that we feel very strongly about. So it's important to, you know, to note that for sure. With regards to, you know, anyone, we've got, I'd say, majority of our clients, about 80% of them, struggle with depression. And of course, we have many clients who deal with severe anxiety and have, challenges addressing or resolving or just exploring their trauma. And, you know, for anyone who's basically looking to have a healthier relationship with the condition or the conditions that they have been struggling with, diagnosed or undiagnosed, I feel it's something that's a very powerful tool that one can leverage for sure. And it's such an exciting time that we live in. I can't believe we're even having this conversation right now. And it's so that itself just never gets old, you know, when I take a breath and acknowledge that, and we're just so blessed to be able to have access.
That's so true. And what you said about the relationship to the condition, again, just coming back to what we were talking about earlier of, you know, this isn't about just healing your depression overnight, right? And you never struggle again, but right, really changing how we relate to that, how we relate to ourselves when we're in that state, how we talk to ourselves. It's so profound what can happen when that can shift.
And we've got such, you know, wonderful, you know, resources out there, again, coming back to that conversation. And, you know, I don't know if I've ever shared this with you, but I really enjoy following you on Instagram. And I just love, you know, all of your reels and, you know, it's such a variety of, you know, just little snippets of snackable.
Oh, my gosh.
So thank you for doing all that you do. And I know there's so much out there within this conversation, but it's just so refreshing to know that, you know, people, clinicians like yourself exist in this space. So thank you.
Oh, thank you for that. It's an interesting time to be a clinician, both in, right, in that sense of the online space and also in the emerging psychedelic space and so much that's happening, you know, that has to happen out of the country and in these sort of alternative settings, but also getting to access it here legally through ketamine too. It's really interesting.
Definitely. No, and definitely want to take a moment to acknowledge all of those individuals who are just advocating for accessibility, advocating for decriminalization, and just basically doing all the work that they do. It's certainly, you know, a ongoing process that requires a lot of commitment, time, energy, and it's just, again, it's just so beautiful to be a part of this space.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that highlighting things like ketamine, you know, that are already legal, that are so safe, is an important part of that, right? It sort of helps break down the stigma a little bit for people that are particularly wary of some of the other medicines. And yeah, I think it's important that we're doing both, that we're working within the system we've got while also working to change that system, the mainstream medical system and the legal system, you know, that dictates these things. So it's a balancing act for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So anything else you're feeling called to share today?
I am just so excited to see how we are able to share, you know, these modalities and these powerful therapies in the future. I'm just very curious to know, you know, how things are going to evolve within this space. So that's definitely something that, you know, keeps me up at night sometimes. I get really excited about it when, you know, you hear about some pretty innovative organizations out there doing some beautiful things. And I'm just curious to know where things will be in 20 years from now, you know? So, apart from that, Jenny, I honestly, you know, I feel like, yeah, I feel that we're just so grateful to be able to help our clients, to be able to witness and be a part of these success stories and to work with other individuals in this space, be it our team members or just, you know, just clinician partners and you name it. And I feel the individuals that are attracted to this space and just, you know, learning and growing with them as well has truly been something that I'm going to continue to cherish for the rest of my life, you know? So yeah.
I really feel that from you when I hear you talk, just your excitement and passion for this work. How can people connect with you or become a patient or get in touch?
Yeah. Support your work? Yeah, no, they can just visit new.life. That's spelled NUE.life. And, you know, I really enjoy sharing my story and, you know, milestones and little nuggets of information on my Instagram, which is Kabir Ali. And I'm very much so alive on LinkedIn. So yeah, those are some nice spaces over there that I feel, you know, folks can go ahead and learn a little bit more about what we do.
Great. I will drop all that in the show notes and just extend to you the most heartfelt thank you. And I'm just so glad to speak with you.
Oh my God. Thank you so much once again, Jenny, for doing all that you do. It's such a pleasure. And it's such a, it's always such a pleasure. So thank you.
So that's the show. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure to check out the show notes for Kabir's full bio and all the links and ways that you can get in touch with him and find out more about New Life's at-home ketamine program. This is also probably the last episode of 2021. So I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for embarking on this journey with me, for showing your interest and support. If you're liking the podcast and want to show some love, I would really appreciate it if you could even just subscribe or rate or leave a review on whatever platform you're using to listen. That little bit of support really goes a long way in helping to get this message out to more people. So I'd really appreciate it. And if you celebrate New Year's and are marking the new year, I hope you have a really joyful, peaceful, hopeful holiday. And I will look forward to connecting with you in the new year. Thanks so much.